So today on the program, we're continuing our conversation with the candidates in this year's Quincy City election. And today we welcome candidate for the Ward 3 City Council seat, Kathy Thrun. Nice to see you, Kathy. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's our pleasure to let you have a chance to talk to the folks here in Quincy about who you are, what you stand for, why you're running, and what you hope to accomplish. So let's hear the Kathy Thrun story.
Quite a few questions
there. I know.
Let me start with who I am.
Okay.
My name's Kathy Thrun. My married name was Kathy Nason. I've lived in Quincy for about 50 years, but I was born in New York City, raised in Jersey. I'm a blue-collar gal from beginning to end. And I came to Boston to go to undergraduate at Boston University and simply never left.
Okay.
I got an undergraduate degree in chemistry from BU, and then I got a graduate certificate from Harvard in business and an engineering master's from Tufts.
Well,
I did them one degree per decade because I was working my way through all of these. So I fell in love with Quincy. I really enjoy the Blue Hills for hiking. We've got 27 miles of shoreline, and we've got a marvelous history here. I just feel like democracy was in part born here, and that's very important to me.
Sure.
And so I've had a lot of fun here. I had a very, very full profession. Raised my son here through Wollaston Central North. He then went up and graduated from Cornell and is now an NYPD police officer. But he's home with me for a year because he just got a full scholarship to Harvard to get his master's in public administration. So I find that timing fascinating.
He's also following a little bit in your footsteps.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. The service is more in his dad's, and my whole family are veterans of wars, and his and George, my husband, was actually a Navy medic attached to the Marines during Vietnam. So that sense of service goes very deep in my son.
Sure.
My son is actually adopted from Korea.
Oh.
There's also a full cycle there because my husband was adopted.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah. So sort of a fun story there.
Yeah.
But I got involved somewhat in Quincy politics years ago, working to get the CPA passed.
Community Preservation Act.
Yep. Right. So that was a marvelous success. And then I worked with Quincy Environmental Network for a few years. We actually wrote several open space reports that were used to identify open space that could have been acquired by CPA.
Mm-hmm.
Did less in the historical arena, which I kind of regret now because I wish we had done a little bit more in the historical arena.
Never too late.
Never, ever too late.
Sure.
But then my husband got ill and after I retired, and that took a lot of my time. My profession took me all over the world.
I did
everything from environmental research to the destruction of chemical weapons.
Well.
So that was a bit of fun. And disaster recovery. So I had a lot of experience both nationally as well as internationally and some of the places that are not high on a tourist list.
Yeah, did you
Eastern
work for
Europe.
Government?
Sometimes it was government,
yeah.
And sometimes it was private.
I
worked for a company called Arthur D. Little.
Oh, sure.
So yeah. I was a technical consulting, and I always said, if you're a chemist, you can do anything.
Yes.
So, and I did. I even did some flavor chemistry. Flavor chemistry was fine, because after being an environmental chemist, you can't eat anything. But you can eat it when you're a flavor chemist.
Interesting.
And I was trained as a taster a little bit, too.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So that was fun as well. But back to Quincy.
Yeah.
So it took me a while to handle what was happening with my husband, but I recovered from that. And things go on, and all of a sudden, one day, a neighbor mentioned to me that Ruth Gordon Amphitheater was going to be filled. I said, that's not possible. And so I looked into it more, and there was. There was a bid, a request for a bid to fill in the Ruth Gordon Amphitheater, and that sort of slammed me back into Quincy and what was happening to here. And without lecturing about it, I find after all this international, national work I've done, there's nothing more important than when you live, where you live, and local government. Nothing affects your day-to-day life like where you live. I mean, it's about your trash, it's about your roads, it's about your neighbors, it's about your community, it's about development. It is your day-to-day life. There's state and national and county politics, but day-to-day life, it's all about local politics. Ruth Gordon Amphitheater ended quite nicely, mm-hmm. I mean, and it brought attention back to a jewel in Quincy, and those Friday night, that's so much fun. The music is great. The community is great. Such enthusiasm for that. And quite frankly, the amphitheater has gorgeous acoustics. So a lot of fun there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But that, go ahead.
That was a spark, it sounds like.
It was a spark. Yeah. And then I started really looking, and there were these things called the salary raises. Okay, I really didn't like those, and I helped with the petition. Unfortunately, 6,000 signatures, but it should have said something to the local government to pay attention. Mm-hmm. I was particularly disturbed, not only because of the amount of the salary raises, and I had written a whole research paper about the Dormanson Report,
yes.
which was used as the basis of those raises, and it was absurd. The Dormanson Report was highly flawed. There was no way. Our mayor certainly deserves a raise, but not 79%. And the optics of giving the city council a 50% increase at the same time is not good optics. It sounds like quid pro quo. It looks a lot like quid pro quo. Hmm. So you're asking me about a platform. One of the things I'm going to do for sure is write an ordinance to rescind those raises, and hopefully I can get the support I need in the city council to make it pass.
Yeah. Is this your first run at elective office, Kathy?
Very first time.
Very first time.
I keep telling people I'm not a politician, I'm an activist that decided I had to do something.
Okay.
To change things. Then a lot of other things came up. Buying property high, selling it low. 1620 Hancock Street is good example of that. Buying statues without community input, spending COVID money on buying the Monroe Building and fixing cemeteries and getting a gate with angels on it. It's not only the fiscal responsibility that I'm talking about, but also the transparency mm-hmm. of all of these actions. The raises were not mentioned until after the budget hearing. And I even asked at the public hearing, would there be a public hearing about the raises? Because people had no chance to have any say about it. We need a little bit of transparency and accountability. My platform, fiscal responsibility, transparency, and accountability.
Okay. So those issues that you mentioned, the raises, the Monroe Building, the statues. You would have voted against those if you
Absolutely.
Were on council? Okay.
And let me say that the city council has, okay, we have a strong mayor, weak city council
yes.
government. That's fine. However, the city council has most of its power during the budget period. They can make cuts, okay? They also have power when it comes to debt. There's no reason that they can't say no to debt or cut it back. Did we really need a slate and copper roof on the public HQ building?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been troublesome about the constant overruns. I love animals. I have a dog. I do rescues all the time. And our animal center now in Quarry, up on Quarry Street, is gorgeous. But it's $25 million for that facility, in part because they blew it on the asbestos. It was inappropriate, bad testing. And as an environmental chemist, I know how to lay a grid to figure out where the asbestos is. But think about that for a moment, that Milton spent $4.1 million for their facility, and most of the money was donated. And Milton is a much more wealthy city than Quincy overall.
Okay.
So we need to exercise our power as a city councilor. The city council is all supposed to be checks and balances. This is the job of the city council. But every time I go to a city council meeting, all I'm hearing is yeses. With some in-depth questioning from one city councilor, but for the most part, I don't hear the research and the in-depth questioning that I used to hear from past city councilors, you know, particularly mine, Dan Raimondi and Gavin Coughlin. I mean, they would spend hours working, researching a topic and making sure they studied it and understood it and questioned the mayor. It's not happening right now.
So that's something you would do?
Oh, I will question the mayor.
Okay. And research?
And research. Okay. I do believe that if you're going to take on the job of representing your constituents, you better be knowledgeable about the issues and understand. Right now we're $1.6 billion in debt, okay, and the S&P rating has really gone bad. It was lowered to an AA-, which isn't horrible yet, but the outlook is negative. And that's bad news because debt is taking up most of our budget.
As you know, a big part of that debt was the pension bond obligation, the $475 million. Curious how you would have voted on that.
I would have voted positively, probably, because we had gotten ourselves into a position that there was no other option. Hmm. And it was a reasonably good time with low interest rates. However, I would have made sure that that money was properly managed. You know, I think it was in 22 and 90 million dollar loss, and then $3.5 million just disappeared. This is not good fiscal management. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, so you've got to make sure of that. The city has also been very lax in audits. At one point I asked the city auditor who sits on the city council, have any of the city councilors ever asked you to do an audit, thinking about CLASB and that debacle? And she said, no. I went, oh, wow, if I get on the city council, your job is going to be very busy.
So why running for Ward 3, Council Kathy?
Well, I thought about it. Okay, is it Ward 3 or at large?
Right.
And I really like Ward 3. Mm-hmm. I know the people and the community, maybe, and I've lived there for 50 years. Mm-hmm. So I fear Ward 3 is the right place for me. And I'm concerned about some of the issues in
Ward
3.
Yeah, let's talk about what's going on in the ward specifically.
Well, one of the big things is the burned down lot on Newport Street across from the Wollaston T station.
Yep.
In my mind, Wally Center is not part of Ward 3, it's part of Ward 5, but that area and across the street from the T station seems to be ripe for some really good development.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I would begin that with a master plan. The city has been lax about not having a master plan. I think the development without that master plan has caused a lot of the traffic problems in the city. So, but looking at my little piece of the world that I want to improve, Newport Street is one of those areas. When I talk to people, people are concerned about their property taxes. That seems to be global.
Yeah.
And debt is certainly driving that. But also Newport Street, you know,
Newport
and thinking
Avenue,
about
actually,
that, Newport
yeah.
Ave. Sorry, Jeff.
It's quite
thank
all
you
right.
for correcting me.
I just thought I'd step in because
many
people would if I didn't.
Yeah, it's like Quincy versus Quincy.
Correct, yeah.
I'm going to get it.
I know you know that.
50 years here, you should think I would know that. My husband would tell me, yeah, you don't know what street you're on.
That block, as you know, is part of the urban renewal district for Wollaston. So is that not a master plan?
No, an urban renewal district plan is a plan for, but not the depth that a master plan would take it to. Okay, and my heart is still sad about losing Wally Theater Dollar Night. So even though it's not part of Ward 3, I certainly would partner with whomever wins Ward 5 to make sure that we could get some reasonable development there too, because it's another empty lot. It sat there for years.
Yeah, what would you like? What would you like to see? What do you envision as a new development?
Nothing unusual. Okay. Mixed retail.
Okay.
I don't think it's, well, it could be office buildings, but I don't think it's particularly suitable for that. The one thing I've been sad in the Quincy Center development is I don't see any retail. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to do in Quincy Center. Great restaurants, but nothing else to do. And I hear a lot of young people complaining about that. So let's look at maybe Wollaston Center and across the street on Newport Ave. We could start thinking about a vibrant retail entertainment area.
Okay. So in terms of, I mean, height and density, you know, I mean, how would you describe yourself when it comes to development?
Smart development.
Okay.
Okay. I always liked the 5-floor development. I thought that was...
5-4?
Five floors, or I guess we're 7
okay.
now. But certainly we don't need to be that high in Wollaston Center. I think you want to retain a more classic look there.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so 3 floors at best. I think the one apartment building there may have gone 5 floors, which is what I was thinking about. But once again, an area that could be vibrant and fun. And everybody walks through it coming out of going to and from work from the T station.
Sure.
So it should be a very vibrant area.
Okay. Anything else in Ward 3 that concerns you at the moment?
No, not really.
Okay.
It's a pretty healthy area. We could do a little bit more with the parks. There's not a lot of attention being paid to the Montclair area. So I might turn my attention to think about what can we do for the parks in that area. Maybe Porch Fest belongs up in that area. Porch Fest is great, don't get me wrong. But Porch Fest seems to be centered more around the more wealthy neighborhoods. And so let's get it out into places like Montclair, which would be fun.
Okay.
And those people deserve Porch Fest as much as the other guy, as much as me.
If elected, how do you kind of envision yourself interacting with your constituents? You know, what kind of a counselor would you be?
I would be a very open counselor.
Okay.
I always have been. I would reach out through social media.
Okay.
I would hope that I could get most of the email addresses of my constituents, because, of course, that is a very easy way to communicate. I would have regular community meetings. It's something I've missed in Ward 3 for a long time. There just hasn't been a lot of that at all. So, and try to hit the various neighborhoods. So you're not just focused in, a lot of them have been at Wollaston School, for example, but not as many at Montclair.
Okay.
So that sort of thing. I would hope to be the voice of Ward 3 constituents, both on the City Council as well as moving around the neighborhood.
Have you thought about what committees you'd like to serve on the Council?
Not as much, but I kind of would like to get on the Finance Committee.
Well, that's a Committee of the Whole, so you
would
be
is,
by default, yeah.
But that's another thing that's sad, though. I mean, only Finance and Ordinance have really met. The rest don't meet. So that's an issue.
Okay.
That's a real issue to make sure, if we're going to have a committee, don't have it just on paper, do something about it. There's none in particular that I would point to at this point in time.
Okay. You mentioned you were out and about, you had to collect your signatures, right, to be certified to get on the ballot. So folks were talking about, you said taxes, about debt.
Traffic.
And traffic. Okay.
Roads.
Okay.
Sidewalks.
Oh, really? Okay.
They've improved in some areas, and people are happy. There's other neighborhoods that haven't been gotten to, you know, quite some time.
Sure.
And property taxes, always property taxes. It's getting hard. And appropriate development. You know, so.
Okay. So do you think people are getting value for their tax dollar? Do you think they're getting adequate value in services for their
In many ways they are.
Okay.
And let me be clear, even though I'm giving this black story about Quincy, a lot of the development in Quincy has been terrific. Mm-hmm. I am particularly ecstatic about the schools. The new schools were needed, and they're beautiful, and they've done well for the city. The beginnings of the redevelopment of Quincy Center has been good. I love the commons. I love the fountains, mm-hmm. even though I thought fountains kind of dangerous. I remember the mayor was all worried about Ruth Gordon Amphitheater and climbing
mm-hmm.
up.
That's right.
But those fountains are a lot more dangerous for kids.
Okay.
But anyway, yes, there's been some wonderful things that have happened here. But I did come, I first moved into Quincy when we were known as Shoppers World.
Sure.
And we're not Shoppers World anymore. We can't be. I mean, South Shore Plaza took that away, and now the internet has taken the rest of it away. But we can do some things that encourage retail. And we haven't done it yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, fiscal responsibility, transparency. So as a ward counselor, how would you work on those two issues?
Well, fiscal responsibility is a matter of research and talking with not only your constituents, but your other city councilors. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that solid research and a good understanding of the issues, if we don't have all like-minded city councilors, I would hope that I could convince.
Okay.
My fellow city councilors that this is something we have to do something about. Mm-hmm. We can't keep just saying yes. On transparency, I haven't seen many, except for the Patriot Ledger has done a good job, but I don't see the city councilors advertising or speaking to a larger audience about the issues. The tough stuff. A lot of times you'll see city councilors sending out information about the fun stuff, which is great. I hope I can do that too.
Sure.
But there's also, people should know about where the debt stands. So many people don't know that we're $1.6 billion in debt. That's an amazing amount for a small city. We're not Boston. We're not New York City. So it's a matter of also informing people about that. You know, either I'd like to do a newsletter that does the fun stuff, mm-hmm. but also does the issues to make sure that our constituents are well-versed in what's happening in the city.
Okay.
Good and bad.
So what areas, Kathy, would you consider in the budget cutting or at least, you know, level funding in order to get a hold of that debt?
Well, thinking about just the past budget, did we really need two people in charge of fraud?
Ah, okay.
In both the police department and in elder services? Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Okay.
Also, police overtime. Huge budget buster. And it wasn't even, I don't think it was totally reflected in the budget. Are there ways that we can manage that overtime? I understand that National Grid pays for a lot of the overtime that goes on, and also they have a wonderful program for retired police. But the events that are happening in the city also require a lot of police that requires a lot of overtime. Can we look at that and figure out, is there a way to have less expensive resources than our police officers? You need some, but do you need as many? And I know Quincy 400 has been a lot of events.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two potential places that you can look. I don't think schools you should even consider cutting.
Okay.
And it was interesting to me that the school budget went up the least of all the various expenses in the budget. So those are the two places that come immediately to mind.
Okay.
Most recently when the city council approved $8.35 million more in debt, even in the face of a rating that's going down. Did we really need to spend that money on another fire engine? I don't know.
Okay.
Especially given the current circumstances of debt. Should we have sold 1620 Hancock at a $300,000 loss? I personally don't think so.
Okay, that's still in committee, actually, but yeah.
Should we have gone ahead and said yes to the Grossman project being part of the Housing Development Incentive Program, which provides the ability for the mayor to give them property tax cuts, but also state tax incentives? So that type of thing.
Okay.
We need to stop saying yes, look deeper into the issues, and occasionally say no. Not always, but occasionally you gotta say no.
Going forward, what does the campaign for you look like for the rest of the year?
A lot of door knocking.
Okay.
Is my big preference. No, I don't know if it's my big preference, but maybe I'll lose weight. And that's always a good thing. But door knocking, we had a recent event at CAGNY's, and we'll probably do a couple of other events. I actually, Susan Ewen for At Large and Ginny Ryan for Ward 4, we sort of have come together because unlike some other candidates, we're not getting $50,000, $20,000 worth of donations yet. But if you're interested, I've got a QR code. But so events, certainly social media. I debate with myself about the whole flyer door knocker thing, because I know personally, what do you do with your flyers?
Yeah, most people.
I mean, I just have this thing about landfills.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just going to have to find as many ways as possible to get out there and for people to recognize my name. And talking to you, Joe.
Hopefully that helps. Absolutely.
It does.
Anything else you'd like to share with folks right now?
No.
Okay.
Well, yes, there is one thing. Our mayor was voted in with less than 20% of the registered voters. That makes a question about democracy for me. So I want to encourage, no matter who you vote for, please get off your butt and vote. There's a dozen different ways to do it easily. So, as I said, win, lose, or draw, I really want to see people come out and vote for this local election. We've got a lot of good people running.
Okay, great. Do you have a website for your campaign?
I do.
Okay.
Kthron for Quincy.
Okay.
.com.
Okay. Thanks so much, Kathy. Great to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Joe. You have a great day.
You as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano, and we'll see you next time.